This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
But alhamdulillah, it's been a wonderful journey. We're really excited, mashallah, for this session. I want to remind you that inshallah, once we get back to our classes after Ramadan, we will finish our recitation as part of the program. So do keep tuning up on Surah Yusuf and your memorization that you have done in the past, as it is part of the program. And I will hand it off, inshallah, to Ustad Taymiyyah, who is on there. Ustad, can you jump on the mic? I wanted to make sure you're there.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you doing this morning?
Alhamdulillah, I'm good. How are you?
Good, alhamdulillah. So I'll hand it off to you.
Jazakallah khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. I have to say, mashallah, I'm very impressed with your recitation. It's the first time I actually got to listen to some of you. And mashallah, it's amazing. Barakallahu feekum. So let's begin the translation from ayah number 93. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri. Wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Allahumma ihdi qalbi wa saddid lisani wasrul sakhimata qalbi. Amin ya rabbil alamin. Idhhabu, you all take بِقَمِيصِ هَذَا, this shirt of mine, فَأَلْقُوهُ, then you all cast it, عَلَى, upon, وَجْهِ, face, أَبِي, of my father, يَأْتِ, he will become, بَصِيرًا, one who sees, وَأْتُونِي, and you all bring me, بِأَهْلِكُمْ, your family, أَجْمَعِينَ, all together. وَلَمَّا, and when, فَصَلَتْ, it had departed, الْعِيرُ, the caravan, قَالَ أَبُوهُمْ, their father said, Inni, indeed I, la'ajidu, surely I perceive, riha, scent, Yusufa of Yusuf. Lawla, if not for the fact, an that, tufanniduni, you all would think me senile. Qalu, they said, tallahi, by Allah, innaka, indeed you, lafi, surely are in, dalalik, your error, al-qadim, the old one. Falamma an, then when, ja' al-bashir, the one who gives good news came, Al-Qahu, he cast it, Ala, upon Wajhihi, his face, Farutadda, so he became Basira, one who sees. Qala, he said, Alam Aqul, didn't I say, Lakum, to you all, Inni, indeed I, A'lamu, I know, Min, from, Allahi Allah, Ma, what, La, not, Ta'lamun, you all know. Qalu, they said, Ya O Abana, our father, istaghfir, you seek forgiveness, lana, for us, dhunubana, for our sins. Inna, indeed we, kunna, we have been, khati'een, ones who sin. Qala, he said, Sawfa astaghfiru, I shall seek forgiveness, lakum, for you all, Rabbi, from my Rabb. Innahu, indeed he, huwa, he truly, al-ghafoor, is the ever-forgiving, Ar-Rahim, the ever-merciful. Falamma, then when, dakhalu, they entered, ala, upon, Yusufa, Yusuf, awa ilayhi, he embraced, abawayhi, his two parents. Waqala, and he said, udkhulu, you will enter, Misra, Egypt, in, if, sha'allahu, Allah wills, amineen, as ones who are secure. Warafa'a, and he raised, abawayhi, his two parents, ala, upon, al-arsh, the throne. وَخَرُّوا, and they fell down, لَهُ سُجَّدَا, as ones prostrating to him. وَقَالَ, and he said, يَا أَبَتِي, O my father, هَذَا, this تَأْوِيلُ, is interpretation, رُؤْيَايَ, of my dream, مِنْ, from, قَبْلُ, before. قَدْ, indeed, جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي, my Rabb made it, حَقَّا, a reality. وَقَدْ, and indeed, أَحْسَنَ, he did good with excellence, Be to me, idh when akhrajani, he brought me out, min, from, asijni, the prison. Waja'a bikum, and he brought you all, min, from, al-badwi, the desert life. Min ba'di an, after, nazagha shaytanu, the shaytan had sowed discord, baini, between me, wa baina, and between, ikhwati, my brothers. Inna, indeed, rabbi, my rabb, latifun, is ever perceiving. Or is subtly kind, lima, in bringing about whatever yasha'u, he wills. Innahu, indeed he, huwa, he truly, al-alim, is the ever-knowing, Al-Hakim, the ever-wise. Rabbi, my Rabb, qad indeed, ataytani, you have given me min of al-mulki, the power. Wa'allamtani, and you have taught me min of ta'wil, interpretation, al-ahadith, of the dreams. Fatir, creator, as-samawat, of the skies, wal-ard, and the earth. Anta, you, waliyi, are my friend, or are my protector, fi in ad-dunya, the world, wal-akhirah, and the hereafter. Tawaffani, you take me in death, musliman, as one who submits, wa-alhiqni, and you make me join, bis-salihin, those who are righteous. Thalika, that, min is from anba, news, al-ghayb, of the unseen. Nuhihi, we reveal it, ilayka, to you. Wama, and not, kunta, you were, ladayhim, with them, idh, when, ajma'u, they agreed together, amrahum, upon their matter. Wahum, while they, yamkurun, they plot. Wama, and not, aktharu, most, annasi, of the people, walau, even if, harasta, you avidly desire, bimu'mineen, are at all ones who believe. Wama, and not, tas'aluhum, you ask them, alayhi, for it, min ajrin, any reward at all. In, not, huwa it, illa, is except, dhikrun, a reminder, lil'alameen, for the worlds. Waka'ayyin, and how many, min ayatin, a sign, fi in as-samawat, the skies, wal-ard, and the earth, yamurruna, they pass, alayha, upon them, or by them. Alayha, by them. Wahum, while they, anha, from them, muridun, are ones who turn away in aversion. Wama, and not, yu'minu aktharuhum, most of them believe, billahi, in Allah, illa, except, wahum, while they, mushrikun, are ones who associate partners with Allah. Afa aminu, then were they all secured, an against that, ta'tiyahum, it comes to them, ghashiyatun, an overwhelming calamity, min from adab, punishment, Allahi of Allah. Aw, or ta'tiyahum, it comes to them, as-sa'atu, the hour, baghtatan, suddenly, wahum, while they, la, not, yash'urun, they perceive. Qul, you say, hadihi, this, sabili, is my way, ad'u, I call, ila, towards Allah, Allah. Ala, upon, basiratin, clear evidence. Ana, I, waman, and whoever, ittaba'ani, he has followed me. Wa subhan, and I proclaim glory, Allahi of Allah, wama, and not, ana, I, min, am among al-mushrikeen, those who associate partners with Allah. Wama, and not, arusalna, we sent, min qablika, before you, illa, except, rijalan, men. Nuhi ilayhim, to whom we reveal, min, among ahli, people, al-qura, of the towns. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا, then did they not travel, fi in al-ard, the land, فَيَنْظُرُوا, so they look, كَيْفَ, how, كَانَ, it was, عَقِبَةُ, consequence, الَّذِينَ, of those who came, مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ, before them, وَلَدَارُوا, and surely home, الْآخِرَةُ, of the hereafter, خَيْرٌ, is best, لِلَّذِينَ, for those who, اتَّقَوْ, they adopted consciousness of Allah. أَفَلَا, then will not, تَعْقِلُونَ, you all understand, Hatta ida, until istay'asa ar-rusul, the messengers had completely despaired. Wa dhannu, and they knew, annahum, that indeed they, qad indeed, kudibu, they had been lied to. Ja'ahum, it came to them, nasruna, our help, or our victory. Fanujjiya, so he was saved, man, whoever, nasha'u we will, wala, and not, yuraddu, it can be repelled, but suna, our punishment, an, from, al-qawm, the people, al-mujrimeen, those who were criminals. Laqad, indeed, kana, there has been, fi in qasasihim, their account. Ibratun, a lesson, li'uli, for possessors, al-albab, of the intellects. Ma, not, kana, it is, hadithan, a statement which, yuftara, it is fabricated. Walakin, but rather, tasdiq, confirmation of the truth, alladhi, of that which came, bayna yadayhi, before it. Wa tafsil, and a detailed explanation, kulli, of every shay'in, thing, wa hudan, and guidance, wa rahmatan, and mercy, liqawmin, for a people who, yu'minun, they believe. So alhamdulillah, we have completed the translation of Surah Yusuf, and now inshallah we'll begin the tafsir from ayah number 93. So in the previous verses, we learned about how Yusuf alayhi salam finally disclosed his identity to his brothers, and his brothers acknowledged the greatness of Yusuf alayhi salam. They apologized to him, they admitted their fault, and Yusuf alayhi salam forgave them, and he prayed for them that may Allah forgive you. And he also said, "La tathriba alaykum al-yawm," that there is no blame on you today. And we see here that Yusuf alayhi salam is not spiteful at all. He does not tell them about everything that he suffered since they threw him in the well. Because for the believer, the fact is that there is no real suffering. Meaning, yes, there is pain because of the hardships in life, but the believer realizes that the pain was not the goal. The pain was just a means. It was just a step in the journey of getting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. So the believer focuses on what they have gained, not just what they have suffered or the losses and the pains that they have endured. And when you have this kind of an outlook on life, then you're able to forgive even those people who have hurt you. You're able to forgive the people who have wronged you. And we see this even in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We see that he was in Mecca and his own people turned against him, so much so that his life was in danger and he had to leave Mecca. He migrated to Medina. And then eventually when he conquered Mecca and he returned, he asked the people that, "What do you think will be done with you today?" And the people of Mecca said that you are Akhul Karim, that you are a generous, kind, noble brother. The son of a generous, kind, noble brother. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time repeated the same words of Yusuf alayhi salam. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame on you today. And you see this word, la tathriba. La tathriba means there is no tathrib at all, whatsoever. Now what is this word tathrib? Tathrib, you see the word tharb is actually, it means the thin layer of fat which covers the stomach of an animal, okay? And that layer of fat is actually supposed to be removed. So when you remove it, then the meat or the flesh, you know, it's exposed, all right? So tathrib literally means to remove the tharb, okay? To remove the tharb. Now, tathrib of a person is to remind them of their mistakes, or to blame them for their offenses, okay? Why? And as a result, what happens is that their reputation is damaged, or it is a cause of embarrassment for them. So when it is said, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ, what this means is that your crimes will not even be mentioned. They will not even be spoken of. There is going to be no reminder. I'm not going to remind you of what you did. There is going to be no anger against you, no reproach, no blame will be shown to you whatsoever. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. Yusuf alayhi salam truly forgave his brothers. And his brothers apologized to him. And he prayed for their forgiveness as well. And then when he found out about his father, about how he had lost his vision, he said, "Idhhabu biqamisi hadha." Take this shirt of mine, meaning the shirt that I'm wearing. You know, he took it off, he gave it to them. He said, "Take this shirt of mine, فَأَلْقُوهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ أَبِي," and you put it over the face of my father. Go back home, put it on his face. What's going to happen? يَأْتِ بَصِيرًا, he will become seeing again. Basir is someone who sees. Meaning his blindness will go away and he will return to being basir. Watuni, and then after that, all of you bring me, bi ahlikum, with your families, ajmarin, all together. Meaning all of you come back here, come over here in Egypt, bring your families, your children, your spouses, all of you come over here. So why is it that Yusuf alayhi salam sent his shirt for his father? Did that shirt have some special powers to heal blindness? No. This was something that Yusuf alayhi salam did based on revelation, because after all, Yusuf alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. And remember that shifa, healing, is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person is cured by Allah because Allah is a Shafi. And then the things that we use to adopt as means in order to get shifa, right? Like, for example, medication or, you know, some kind of food supplement, etc. When we take those things, these are only asbab. They're only means. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He works with asbab, means, and also without means. And He can make anything a sabab if He wants. So, for example, we learn about how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were times when he sought treatment. He asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for healing. How? By just taking some of his saliva. Of course, his saliva was blessed, and he put it in the sand. Okay, and then he would apply that on the skin and rub it, right? And the du'a that he said. That in your name, O Allah, cure us. This is the turba, the spit, the saliva of some of us, and the sand of ardina, of our land. So, if you think about it, when did sand have healing properties? It doesn't have healing properties, as far as we know. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who can make anything a source of healing for someone. Right? So it is our responsibility to adopt means, to adopt the asbab. So Yusuf alayhi salam sent his shirt. But why shirt? If you think about it, every ailment is treated with its opposite. Okay? Now, the shirt had the smell of Yusuf alayhi salam. And the heart of Yaqub alayhi salam was filled with the grief of missing Yusuf alayhi salam. So Yusuf alayhi salam sent his shirt to his father. Why? So that when his father would smell Yusuf, then his grief would go away. And as his grief and his sadness would be dispelled, his vision would return. Because you see, behind an ailment, behind a disease is a reason, right? Behind a condition is a reason. So you have to fix that reason, that the cause. Right, you have to go to the root. So Yusuf alayhi salam sent his shirt, and with that Yaqub alayhi salam's vision was returned. Now it's amazing how Yaqub alayhi salam's ordeal began with a blood-stained shirt, right? When the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam brought the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam to him, and now his ordeal was going to end with another shirt. So both of the shirts belonged to Yusuf alayhi salam, and both of the shirts were brought to Yaqub alayhi salam by the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? So we see that the same thing can be a cause of misery, and it can also be a cause of happiness. It was a shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam that brought so much sadness to Yaqub alayhi salam, and eventually the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam that brought him so much happiness. And then we see that just because someone has hurt you today, so for example, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they brought the blood-stained shirt, it doesn't mean that they can never make you happy again. They're the same people who brought the second shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam, because of which the vision of Yaqub alayhi salam was returned. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he sent the shirt, and he also said, all of you come to Egypt. Why is it that he asked all of them to come to Egypt? So that he could meet them all. And this shows us that Yusuf alayhi salam took his responsibility very, very seriously. He was not careless about his obligations. That once he had given his word and he had committed to this responsibility of managing the khazain, the treasuries of the land, the food stores, then he took that matter very seriously. And so he didn't just leave for a personal vacation. Right, he called all of his family to Egypt. And also he called them to Egypt because there was famine everywhere, and in Egypt there was plenty of food supplies. So this is why he wanted them to live an easy and comfortable life. So he invited all of them. So what happened? وَلَمَّا فَصَلَتِ الْعِيرُ. And when the caravan departed, فَصَلَ is to set out, to depart. So when the caravan departed, meaning from Egypt, the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam left in order to go to Palestine to their father and bring him the shirt. Qala abuhum, their father said. Yani the caravan had not yet reached, it had just left Egypt. And at the same time, Yaqub alayhi salam said that inni la ajidu riha Yusuf, that indeed I find the fragrance, the scent of Yusuf. Rih means wind and it also means scent. He said, I can smell Yusuf. And this is so beautiful. It had been so many years since he had been with Yusuf alayhi salam, but he remembered the scent of Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is so true. Parents don't just remember what their babies or what their children look like. They also remember the specific scent, right, of each child. So anyway, Yaqub alayhi salam said that I can smell Yusuf. He said, "Lawla antufanniduni, if you did not think me, tufanniduni, if you did not think me weakened in mind." Now, tufannidun, the ni at the end is for me, and tufannidun is from fanada, which is to become weak in one's judgment. Okay, why? Because of extreme old age. And it also means to lie or to make mistakes. And this is not out of some evil intent, but really to make an error while speaking or in making one's judgment because of weakness of mind. All right. And why is it that a person has become weak in their judgment, in their speech, in their mind? Because of extreme old age. So this is fanada. So he said, "Lawla antufannidun," meaning I know what I am saying. I'm not making an error over here. This is real. I can smell Yusuf, even if you think that I am senile and I am making an error in my judgment because of my old age. You see, we learn about how one of the companions before a battle, he said he could smell Jannah, right? And Yaqub alayhi salam was very hopeful and certain about seeing Yusuf alayhi salam again. So when a person is certain, has strong hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "I am as my servant thinks I am." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him smell Yusuf even before his shirt reached him. Now, this is amazing. There was once a time when Yusuf alayhi salam was in the well, right, in Canaan, not far from the house of Yaqub alayhi salam. But Yaqub alayhi salam did not smell him at that time. And right now, Yusuf alayhi salam is so far, he's in Egypt. And his shirt has just left, but Yaqub alayhi salam smelled him. So the fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him smell Yusuf alayhi salam at this time and not before. Qalu, they said, meaning the family of Yaqub alayhi salam said, "Tallahi, by Allah, innaka, indeed you, lafi, surely are in dalalika al-qadim, your same old error." Yaqub alayhi salam was right in his assumption of them. They did not believe him. They assumed that Yaqub alayhi salam was making an error in his judgment because of his old age. And they said, "You are in your dalal, in your error." And you see, earlier in the surah, we learned that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam said, "Inna abana lafi dalalin mubin," that indeed our father is in clear error, right? And what is this error that they're referring to? They're referring to the love that he had for Yusuf alayhi salam. So they said, you are in that same old error. Now, one thing I want you to notice here is that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam were actually still returning from Egypt. Okay? They were not home at this time. So who was at home with Yaqub alayhi salam? It was their children, perhaps their spouses, maybe some of the brothers, not all of them. And yani, it shows that the fact that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam did not respect their father, yani, that automatically transferred into their children as well. And this is something that we have to be very, very careful about. When a woman, for example, does not show respect to her parents, right? For instance, then what is it that her children will learn? That my grandparents don't deserve any respect. When a man does not show respect to his wife, what does that show? What message does that give to his children? That, you know what, your mom or women, or when you get married and you have a wife, then they don't deserve any respect. You can talk to them however, you can disrespect them, you can treat them however you want. The way we deal with others, especially our close family members, that manner is going to automatically transfer to our children. And this is something that we will be guilty of, because they're picking up that bad akhlaq from who? From us. And remember that in our deen, respecting the elders especially is extremely important. Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu said that an older man came to talk to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he came, people were already sitting over there, but they did not make room for him. And no one got up or squeezed a little to make room for that elderly man. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa minna man lam yirham saghirana wa yuwaqqir kabirana." He is not one of us who does not have mercy on our young and does not respect our elders. Meaning this is from the etiquette of being a Muslim, that you must show respect to the elders. And this is something that we have to be very careful about, because you see sometimes, there are elderly grandparents, for instance, at home. And sometimes the kind of things they say, or the fact that they forget very quickly, sometimes they have Alzheimer's, memory loss, or sometimes they ask for the same thing like 10 times, or they keep repeating themselves. People start laughing at them. And this is something that we should be really, really afraid of. That if someone is, in a difficult condition before us, they deserve mercy. Not that we start making fun of them and we start disrespecting them. So these people, they said to Yaqub alayhi salam, "You are lafi dhalalik al-qadim. You are in your same old error." And by saying your old error, what is it that they're saying? Forget about Yusuf. Forget about him. Move on. He's been gone for so long and you're still stuck in your past. And you know what? Sometimes people attack your hurt in this way, right? That you're still stuck in the past. Move on. So this is a very disrespectful way and very insensitive. فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاءَ الْبَشِيرِ. So what happened? فَلَمَّا then when أَنْجَاءَ الْبَشِيرِ, the bearer of good news came. Bashir is someone who brings bashara, good news. So when the person bearing the good news, and what was the good news? The good news that Yusuf had been found, and that of course meant that Binyamin was free, and that meant that, the eldest son was also good now. So when this bearer of good news came, أَلْقَاهُ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ, he cast it over his face. Meaning he cast the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam over the face of Yaqub alayhi salam. What happened? فَرُتَدَّ بَصِيرًا. And he returned to being basir again. Once again, he was basir, Yaqub alayhi salam could see. And now, what happened? His family was saying, "You are in your old error." And clearly he was not in an error and he was not in dalal. So of course, they had been embarrassed. Yaqub alayhi salam said to them, "Qala alam aqul lakum." He said, "Didn't I tell you, inni a'lamu min Allahi ma la ta'lamun, that I know from Allah that which you do not know. I knew that Yusuf was alive. I knew that there was that I was going to get relief very soon." And you see, sometimes we belittle the grieving of people. We, tell them, "Don't be so optimistic," in the name of being realistic, right? Yaqub alayhi salam has hope in Allah. And look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled it, right? He fulfilled his hope. He did not disappoint his slave. And we see over here that Yaqub alayhi salam at this point did not meet Yusuf. He just smelled his scent from the shirt, right? And you see someone's fragrance, someone's good message sometimes. You haven't met them, but you receive a good message from them. That is enough at times to lift your spirits. So don't be stingy in sending good messages, kind words. قالوا, they said, يا أبانا, O our father, استغفر لنا ذنوبنا. Please seek forgiveness for us, for our sins. إنا كنا خاطئين. Indeed, we have been sinners. They said, our father, please ask Allah to forgive us. Forgive us for what? For what we have done to you and for how we have been behaving with you. We have indeed committed dhunub, sins, not just them, but dhunub. And they say, inna kunna khati'een. And remember, khati'een, khati' is someone who intentionally does what is not right. Right? And khati' is also a person who constantly, you know, he continues to do what is wrong, for which he deserves punishment. And what were some of the crimes that they had committed intentionally, knowingly? They lied to their father about taking Yusuf alayhi salam to play when their actual intention was to throw him in the well. And then they threw their brother in the well. And then when they returned to their father, they lied again. And then they lied again in front of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they knew what they were doing. They chose to commit those crimes. And they realized and they confessed. You see, they're confessing over here. For the second time, they're saying that kunna khati'in, we have been at fault. Once they admitted before Yusuf alayhi salam, and now they're admitting before their father. Why? Because they had wronged both parties. They had harmed Yusuf alayhi salam, and they had also harmed Yaqub alayhi salam. So they admitted before both. And we see that when the truth was revealed, then you see they're admitting their fault openly. Now, in general, what we're taught is that if a person has committed a sin, they should not publicize it, right? But remember that it depends on the nature of the sin. If the sin was private, then you repent and you seek forgiveness in private. You don't tell people about it. But if the nature of the sin was public, or that it affected other people, then it is necessary that you repent publicly also, and that you apologize to people whom you have wronged. This is of the conditions of Tawbah, that you apologize to Allah and you also apologize to the people whom you have wronged. And we see that both parties that had wronged Yusuf alayhi salam, his brothers and also the wife of Aziz, right? Both of them, they apologized to Yusuf alayhi salam because of the way that he made them realize his their mistakes, right? And they also repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they said to their father, O our father, seek forgiveness for us. Now it's interesting that they're asking their father to seek forgiveness for them. And this is something that is completely permissible. When you know that there's someone who is righteous, their father after all was not only their father, he was also a prophet of Allah. So they requested him to seek forgiveness. And this is something perfectly fine. You are allowed to ask people to make dua for you. However, that should not be the only thing you do. That when you see someone praying, you say, oh, please pray for me too. But then you don't pray yourself. There has to be a balance. You make dua yourself, and you can also request other people to make dua for you. Qala, Yaqub alayhi salam said, Sawfa astaghfiru lakum rabbi. I will seek forgiveness for you from my Lord. Innahu huwa al-ghafuru rahim. Indeed, he truly is the ever-forgiving, the ever-merciful. And I hope that Allah will forgive you. He will have mercy on you. And, you know, it's interesting here that Yaqub alayhi salam, he says, I will seek forgiveness for you, right? He doesn't say immediately, oh Allah, forgive them. He says, I will seek forgiveness for you. Why is that so? Why didn't he seek forgiveness right away? Because first of all, he wanted to give them an answer right away. You know, for example, someone asks you, please pray for me. So what do you do? One way is that you stand right there, you start making dua for them. And another is that you say, okay, inshallah, I will. Right? So he promised them. He promised that he would make dua for them, and this is fine. And secondly, it is said that he intended to make a lot of istighfar for them. Right? Not just at one point, but for a long period of time. Okay? So I will seek forgiveness for you, meaning now and tomorrow and day after and then after that. And this is how parents are, you know. You sometimes make dua for yourself only once or twice. But your parents, they will make dua for you like 1,000 times. And they will continue to make dua for you. So he's saying, سَوْفَ أَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكُمْ رَبِّي, means that I will make dua for you and I will continue to do so. And then it is also said that he waited to meet Yusuf alayhi salam first, because he wanted to make sure that Yusuf alayhi salam had forgiven them, and they had apologized to him also, because their sin was not just against Yaqub alayhi salam, it was also against Yusuf. And then it is also said that he wanted to make istighfar for them at a better time, at a time when du'as are answered, and that would be the time of the Tahajjud. So this is why he said, I will seek forgiveness for you. And he gives them hope that that my Lord is forgiving and merciful. It is so beautiful. Imagine someone has harmed you for so long, and you finally are in a position where the truth is revealed and you have power, right? What would be our first response? You know what? Oh, Allah, punish this person. You know, destroy them, ruin them, you know, satisfy the anger in my heart and bring me justice. And that it's fine. You can take revenge. Of course you can. That's completely permissible. But the way of the Muhsineen is that they want good for everyone. So Yaqub alayhi salam, and he gives hope to his sons. He doesn't say, you know what? I'm sorry, I can't do anything for you. Your matter is with Allah. And you have done zulm, and you have done, you have lied, and Allah does not like these characteristics, and you are going to be losers. Nothing like that. He just says, إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. He gives them hope also. Now what happened? According to Yusuf alayhi salam had told his brothers that all of you come to Egypt. So this is what they did. Everyone, they packed up and they got ready and they left. And as they entered Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَمَّا دَخَلُوا عَلَى يُوسُفْ. So when they entered upon Yusuf alayhi salam, they entered Egypt and they met Yusuf. What did Yusuf alayhi salam do? أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. Notice the words أَوَى إِلَيْهِ. The same words we read when we learned about how he received his brother, Binyamin. And now he received his parents in the same way. أَوَى إِلَيْهِ. And this means that he received them, he embraced them, he hugged them. Right? He took them in his arms. And this was a reunion after so many years. أَوَى إِلَيْهِ أَبَوَيْهِ. He embraced his parents. وَقَالَ, and he said, welcoming them, he said, أُدْخُلُوا مِصْرَ إِن شَاءَ اللَّهُ آمِنِينَ. He said, enter Egypt, Allah willing, safe and secure. Enter Egypt now, and with the will of Allah, you are safe. This is so beautiful. He welcomes them, that, welcome, you are now residents of Egypt, so you stay here with honor and dignity, without any poverty, without any, fear of hunger. You will be safe here. This shows how Yusuf alayhi salam, he immediately did birrul walidain. He honored his parents. He treated them so nicely, and he welcomed them with good news. And we see that, we can see the nature of Yusuf alayhi salam, that the reason why he was loved by his father and respected by people was not because of his high position. It was not because he was very handsome. It was because of his character. It was because of the respect that he showed other people. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. And he raised his parents upon the throne. He raised his parents, both his mother and his father, where? On the throne. Which throne is this? This was the throne of Yusuf alayhi salam, where he used to sit in order to run the affairs as the Aziz of Misr. And remember, Yusuf alayhi salam was not a king, right? But his position was very high, and he did have a throne. So he raised his parents over there. He made them sit on his throne, on his seat of honor. Why? Because that is what parents deserve. No matter what you become, no matter who you become, your parents deserve all of your respect, because anta wa maluka li abika. In the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you and your wealth belong to your father, meaning they have every right over you and your property. Why? Because you are what you are because of your parents. It's their du'as, and it is their well-wishing, it is their love, it is their patience, which has brought you to where you are. Even if, you see, Yusuf alayhi salam's situation, he was far from his parents, right? But still, it was the way that Yaqub alayhi salam had raised Yusuf alayhi salam for whatever time that Yusuf was with him, the du'as that Yaqub alayhi salam had been making. So remember, your parents are your biological parents, even if they haven't raised you. And even if they have not been around much, for whatever reason, the fact that they're your parents, it means that they deserve ihsan from you. Allah says in the Quran, وَاعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. After the right of Allah, the right of the parents. So Yusuf alayhi salam is doing ihsan to his parents. He raised them on his throne, on his seat. And remember that ihsan towards parents is in a number of ways. One way of doing ihsan is through kind words, respectful language, and then through one's actions, through serving them, helping them, and then spending one's money on them, and then also using one's status to honor them, one's jah, to honor them. So Yusuf alayhi salam had such a high position in Egypt, and he used that to honor his parents. وَرَفَعَ أَبَوَيْهِ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا. And they all bowed down to him in prostration. Who? His father, his mother, and his brothers. His entire family, they bowed to him in prostration. What kind of sajda is this? Some say that خَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا means that they fell in prostration because of Yusuf, meaning out of gratitude for meeting him. But this is not correct, because he had seen in his dream that the sun and the moon and the stars were prostrating to him, not because of him. If it was because of him, how would he see that? Or others say that they prostrated to him because he was, you know, in front of them, and they were actually making sajda to Allah, but he happened to be before them. But this is also not correct. This sajda was a sajda to Yusuf alayhi salam, just like the angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salam. Why did they do that? Because they were commanded. And here, they were allowed. So this sajda was of ta'zim, of honor and respect. All right? And remember that the law of the Torah was revealed later. And perhaps this was permissible at the time. But it is not permissible for us, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade that we prostrate to anybody, to any human being. Right? We only prostrate to Allah azza wa jal, the Khaliq, not the makhluq. So, وَخَرُّوا لَهُ سُجَّدًا, they all bowed to him in prostration. But, you know, there's something amazing. Yaqub alayhi salam is the father, right? How come the father or the parents are doing sajda, you know, honoring their son? Because the thing is that parents, they don't feel jealousy in their hearts for their children. When they see their child succeed, they only increase in their gratitude and in their happiness. They're happy for the success of their children. They're not jealous. So everyone was in sajda to Yusuf alayhi salam. وَقَالَ, and Yusuf alayhi salam said, يَا أَبَتِي, O my father, هَذَا تَأْوِيلُ رُؤْيَايَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. This is the interpretation of my dream from before, meaning the dream that I had before. قَدْ جَعْلَهَا رَبِّي حَقَّى. Allah has made my dream a reality. My dream is coming true in front of me. This is the interpretation. This is the actualization of my dream. And remember the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam. What was it? The sun and the moon and the 11 stars were prostrating to him. And that's exactly what was happening over here. And then he says, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. And indeed, my Lord was good to me. He was so kind to me. إِذْ أَخْرَجَنِي مِنَ السِّجْنِ, when he brought me out of the prison. And he was so kind to me. وَجَاءَ بِكُمْ مِنَ الْبَدْوِ, and he brought you from desert life. He brought you over here to Egypt after everything that happened. This is so beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam, look at his adab. He remembers and talks about the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah says, وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. Talk about the blessings of Allah. Right? So he talks about the ihsan, the blessings that he has enjoyed, not the trials. And this is something that we need to think about. That when we look back at our past, what is it that we recall? What is it that we talk about? And especially people who have children, you really need to think about what is it from your past that you tell your children? What kind of stories? About family politics? About how someone was mean to you and they didn't welcome you and they used to mistreat you and etc., etc.? What kind of things do you remember from your past? The fact is that this life is neither all good nor is it all bad. This is a fact. Neither is this life all good, nor is it all bad. Meaning there will be both. There will be hardship and there will also be ease. There will be trials and there will also be blessings. But it depends on us as to what we focus on, right? What we recall, what we talk about. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he begins with, وَقَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِي. Meaning, my Lord was so good to me. I have received so many favors from Allah. And notice how he begins by mentioning the prison. That Allah was so good to me when he brought me out of the prison. He doesn't mention the well, right? That it was so good that I was taken out of the well. And that's how I ended up in Egypt. He doesn't mention the well. Why? Because that would make his brothers feel bad. That would embarrass them. And remember that Yusuf alayhi salam had said to them, لَا تَثْرِيبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ. That now I'm not even going to reproach you, I'm not even going to mention it. And this shows that really he had fully and completely forgiven his brothers. Our problem is that a lot of times we say that, you know what, yes, I have forgiven, I'm, you know, it's okay. But we will indirectly, you know, mention the wrong that others have done. Sometimes directly, sometimes indirectly. And that shows that really we have not fully forgiven them. Yusuf alayhi salam actually forgave them. And this is why he didn't even mention the prison over here. And then he says, because this was very obvious that he suffered what he suffered because of his brothers, and they threw him. So he says, مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. After shaitan had induced discord between me and between my brothers. Now, before that, so notice how he says, my brothers, right? So he fully embraces them. So he's so careful in his language that he does not want to hurt anyone's feelings. And then notice what he says about his parents, about his entire family, that Allah was so good to me that وَجَاءَ بِكُم مِّنَ الْبَدْوِ, that Allah brought you here from the Badu. And the Badu is the desert land, right? Or desert life. So he brought you here. This was an upgrade, right? In the lives of Yaqub alayhi salam and his entire clan. But he doesn't say that قَدْ أَحْسَنَ بِكُمْ, that Allah has been so good to you that he brought you here. Rather, he says أَحْسَنَ بِي. This is an ihsan on me that my family is here with me. Because you see, if he was to say that, oh, you're so fortunate that Allah brought you here. What does that mean? Yeah, you're no longer poor and hungry. You're no longer in the backward desert. And this would be disrespectful, right? Indirectly disrespectful. So we see that Yusuf alayhi salam is so careful in the way that he talks with his parents, that he does not even indirectly hurt them. He doesn't even indirectly disrespect them. Neither his parents nor his brothers. And when he talks about his brothers, he says, مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ. After shaitan had induced discord between me and my brothers. So first of all, he blames shaitan, right? And this is a fact. And if someone is doing something wrong, they're doing it at the whispering of shaitan, right? So the source is shaitan, And then he says, ikhwati, my brothers, that even though, you know, everything that happened happened, they're still my brothers. And he says, bayni wa bayna ikhwati, between me and between my brothers. And this is as if to say that the fault and ignorance was on both sides, between me and my brothers. So, you know, he's not putting the blame entirely on his brothers. He's also taking responsibility. And he's kind of like, downplaying their guilt, sort of, right? And this is also something very important, because remember that if someone wrongs you, like, for example, if the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam tried to hurt him, why? Because they were jealous. Why were they jealous? Because of what Yusuf alayhi salam had, right? So perhaps Yusuf alayhi salam, realized that he should have been more careful earlier, but he was a child at the time. But the point is that he doesn't make them feel bad, that it was your fault and, you know, you listened to shaitan. He blames shaitan and he doesn't use any language that would make them feel hurt. مِن بَعْدِ أَنَّزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. And then he says, إِنَّ رَبِّي لَطِيفٌ لِمَا يَشَاءُ. Indeed, my Lord is subtly kind in order to bring about his will. إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. Indeed, he is ever-knowing, ever-wise. This is so beautiful. Look at the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he mentions. He begins with praising and thanking Allah, right? For the fact that his family had been united. The fact that his parents had been brought over here. The fact that everything that happened in the past is now over, right? And he says, my Lord is al-latif. Al-latif in doing what he wills. In carrying out, in executing his will. Now, who is latif? What does the name latif mean? You see, latif is from lutf. And latufa basically has three meanings. Okay, one meaning is to be, when something is very little or thin, very slender, so that it is there, but it's barely perceptible. Okay, it's very discreet, very subtle. Okay, then secondly, latufa also means to be fine and elegant, okay? To be graceful, to be gentle. And then thirdly, latufa also means generosity, to be kind. Latafa is a gift. Okay, so Allah is latif. Now keep these three meanings in mind. Allah is latif. What does that mean? First of all, of course, it means that he is imperceptible, meaning la tudrikuhu al-abusar, that people cannot see him, right? And then secondly, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala perceives all subtleties, meaning no matter how subtle and fine and hidden something is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can perceive it. He knows it. And this is such a beautiful name in this context. Because you see, so much had happened, right? So much of what people went through was, okay, some of it was known to others and a lot of it was not known to others. Any the feelings that go, you know, that cross your heart when you're hurt, or when you're angry, when you realize that you have been betrayed, right? When you realize that your own people, your own family has stabbed you in the back, any, it hurts. It's so painful. But to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is latif, you know, that feeling in my heart, Allah knows it, right? My that He acknowledges it. He knows it. So Allah is al-latif, meaning He is ever perceiving. He knows the hidden affairs, your feelings, your hurt, or your pride, or your joy, or your jealousy, whatever it is that you're feeling, whatever it is that you're going through, Allah knows about it. And then thirdly, al-latif is also the one who is subtle and kind in executing His will. Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala carries out His will, right? Latifun lima yasha. His will prevails. Wallahu ghalibun ala amrihi. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's kindness is attached to that. So for example, consider how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam threw him in the well. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comfort him there? Absolutely He did. Then we see that how Yusuf alayhi salam was sold into slavery. Was there good with that? Was there any kindness in that? Yes, there was, because out of all the people, Dar Aziz of Misr purchased him. And Dar Aziz of Misr was so good to him. Right? He said that, he said to his wife, treat him well, be generous to him. Perhaps we will adopt him as our own child. So who could know that his being thrown in the well would bring him to Egypt? Who could know that his being thrown into prison would bring him to the throne of Egypt? And who could know that the famine would bring about the family reunion? So Allah is Latif, He is kind in executing His will. He brought about the very best from the very worst situations. Allah is Al-Latif. And then fourthly, Al-Latif also means one who is ever kind to his servants, Al-Rafiq. So He brings good from what is painful. And then finally, Al-Latif also means the one who is subtly kind, meaning the one who is subtle in his actions of kindness. And he is discreet in executing his will. So people don't even realize. You know, for example, the sun sets every day. You don't actually see it. It's not like a light switch, right? The light goes away very gradually in a very subtle way. You're sick, and then what happens? Very gradually, slowly, in a very subtle way, you're better. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is subtle in His actions. He brings about change gradually, and from where people don't even expect. And His kindness reaches His servants from where they cannot even imagine. And He converts difficulties into blessings, because He is Al-Alim, Al-Hakim. He is ever-knowing. He knows the external and the internal. He knows the surface and the depth. He knows the secrets and the public knowledge. And He is Al-Hakim. His judgment prevails. He is wise in the decisions that He makes and in bringing about the results at their perfect time. He is Al-Alim, Al-Hakim. And now look at the dua of Yusuf alayhi salam. He says, Rabbi qad ataytani min al-mulk. My Lord, You have given me something of power. Meaning this position of power that I have, this authority that I have, this is from You. وَعَلَّمْتَنِي مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And You have taught me of the interpretation of dreams. Meaning this knowledge that I have, because of which You have given me preference over others, this knowledge also is from You. You are فَاطِرَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. O Creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the originator of the heavens and the earth. And they did not exist. You brought them into existence. أَنْتَ وَلِيِّي فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. You are my wali in this world and in the hereafter. Wali, You are my friend. You are my protector. You are my helper. You are the one who saved me in this world, and You are my wali in the akhirah. Now his dua, he says, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا. O Allah, cause me to die as a Muslim. وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And You join me with the righteous. Meaning after I die, join me with those who are righteous. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly perfected His favor upon Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Yaqub alayhi salam said in the interpretation of the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam that وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Your Lord will choose you, meaning He will make you a prophet. And He said this because Yusuf alayhi salam saw stars, sun and moon. And remember that these sources of light in the sky, they're a means of beauty and knowledge and guidance. And the prophets are the same. They are a source of knowledge and guidance for people on earth. So just as the stars beautify the sky, the celestial bodies, the sun and the moon, they beautify the sky and they're a source of guidance and knowledge for the people on earth. Similarly, the prophets are they are lights for the people on earth. So He said that your Lord will choose you, meaning you will be a prophet. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِن تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And Allah will give you the special knowledge. وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ. And Allah will complete His favor upon you. Right? So the favor of of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon Yusuf was truly completed over here. How? Yusuf alayhi salam had at-tamkeen fil ard wal mulk, right? He had worldly power. His family was now with him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had also given him a great knowledge, right, of ta'wil al-ahadith. And ahadith, remember, it can refer to the revealed books, or it can refer to dreams, or it can refer to other, knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that knowledge. So Yusuf alayhi salam is filled with shukr. He's filled with humility before the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he praises Allah. And he also prays for something, right? He makes dua over here. He remembers that whatever he has was given to him by Allah. And he remembers what he has received, not what was taken away from him. He doesn't mention what he missed out on. He mentions what he received from Allah. And he realizes that whether it is his knowledge or his power, this is a gift from Allah. Right? He doesn't say, I reached here with my patience and my generosity and my good manners. No, he says, Rabbi qad ataytani. My Rabb, indeed, you gave me this. You brought me to this position. I could never have gotten here myself. And you see, his ilm, his knowledge, and his power, there were means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much more. So whatever, things you have received in your life because of which you have gotten to where you are, whether it was a good teacher who taught you, a mentor, a mentor who guided you, a job opportunity, an apprenticeship, a certain school that you went to, whatever it is that you got to do in your life, realize this was Allah's tawfiq. This was Allah's gift upon you. An opportunity that He provided you. So there is no need to be arrogant over here. We can only be humble. And Yusuf alayhi salam is not amazed by his own greatness, that look, I am better than my family. I am the best of my family. No, he is not impressed by his own greatness. He is amazed by Allah's greatness. He says, فاطر السماوات والأرض. Ya Allah, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. What am I? I'm nothing. Right? You brought all of this into existence. They would not exist unless and until you brought them into existence. So anytime that you feel some pride crawling into your heart, remember the greatness of Allah. Remember that Allahu Akbar, and you will feel humble. And he says, Anta waliyi. You are my wali. You have been my wali. Because if you think about it, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was little, his father could not protect him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did, right? And then when he was with the Aziz did not protect him. The Aziz put him in the prison. Who brought him out? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought him out. And this is a very important lesson that we need to remember in our lives, that the people that Allah puts in our lives, they're not the source of our protection. Okay? They're not the source of our provision. They're not the source of our comfort. They're a means. The real wali, the real protector is who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The real provider is who? It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Yusuf alayhi salam had experienced this. And you see, it happens with us also, that we become so attached to certain individuals. We become so dependent on them. And we think that we cannot exist without them. Our life is incomplete without them. But we see that no matter who came, who was in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, eventually he was taken away from them. Right? He was with his father. And what happened? His father loved him. Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in the prison. He was in the house of the Aziz. Another fitna, he was put in the prison, right? His brothers threw him in the well, and the Aziz put him in the prison. So what do we realize? That, people, our relationships with people, no matter how fulfilling they are, no matter how comforting they are, these relationships are temporary. The real relationship that we need to establish is our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because anta waliyi fi dunya. You are my wali in the world. No matter where in the world you are, no matter what phase you are in, no matter what trial you're going through, Allah is always there for you. أنت وليي في الدنيا والآخرة, and also in the hereafter. So now look at his dua. What does he do? We see that when he prays to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he first begins with praising Allah. أتيتني, Ya Allah, you gave me. And he mentions material blessings that Allah gave him. علمتني, you taught me. He mentions the immaterial blessings that Allah gave him. He says, فاطر السماوات والأرض, O فاطر, you are perfect. أنت وليي, you are my protector, my helper, my guardian. And what is his request? He asks for two things. He says, توفني مسلما. Ya Allah, you make me die as a Muslim. Meaning, give me ثبات on Islam. That I die as a Muslim. Because matters are judged by how they end. حسن الخاتمة. This is why Allah says, وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Do not die unless you're in a state of submission. So let me die as a Muslim. And then secondly, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. Make me among the righteous. Join me with the righteous. Meaning when I die, give me the best company. Yani, he, Yusuf alayhi salam, has everything right now. Power, money, family, knowledge, deen, dunya, everything. And who is he thinking about? About Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he want? He wants to be in, he wants to have a good end to his life. He wants to make sure that he dies in a good state also. You know, sometimes when we look back at our lives, we're like, you know what? I've lived a very good life. And then we stop worrying about the future. Yusuf alayhi salam is grateful over the past, and he is afraid for his future. That alhamdulillah, I've survived until now with your help, O Allah. Allow me to continue this way, to remain a submissive, humble servant to you. So we see that Yusuf alayhi salam had everything. And people, you know, we dream about having what Yusuf alayhi salam was given. Some people make it their ultimate goal in life to look the most beautiful. Yusuf alayhi salam had half of all beauty. Other people make it the goal of their life to make people love them. Yusuf alayhi salam had a position of, had such a position that people loved him, right? Other people, their goal is to have a position of honor and power, right? Yusuf alayhi salam had that also. But what is he concerned about? He is concerned about something far greater, and that is his akhirah. Because the fact is that success is not with beauty, it is not with power. It is not with a happy family. Success is for the person who is saved from hell and is admitted into paradise. Success is for the person who is good with Allah. And Yusuf alayhi salam, this is what he asks Allah for. Allah says, ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الْغَيْبِ. This is from the news of the unseen. نُوحِيهِ إِلَيْكَ, which we reveal to you. Meaning, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know about the story of Yusuf alayhi wa sallam now because it was revealed to you. And if it wasn't for wahi, you would have never known. وَمَا كُنْتَ لَدَيْهِمْ, and you were not with them, meaning with the brothers of Yusuf alayhi wa sallam, إِذْ أَجْمَعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ, when they were uniting upon their plan. They were uniting upon their, when they were unanimously agreeing upon their plan. And what was their plan? To harm Yusuf alayhi salam. وَهُمْ يَمْكُرُونَ, while they were plotting. And this was not just the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam who, you know, sat together to discuss what they should do with Yusuf. It was also, if you think about it, the family of Aziz, right? When they decided to put Yusuf alayhi salam in prison. And there are so many times when people, they will sit together, have that private conversation in order to come up with a plan to harm you, to hurt you. And if you find out about that, this is so hurtful, that they were talking about how to hurt me. They were talking about how to harm me, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you were not there when they were talking about how to harm Yusuf alayhi salam. You were not present over there. You did not witness that conversation. How do you know then? You know because this has been revealed to you. And this is a proof of the truthfulness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the fact that the Quran is truly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even though this evidence is so clear, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ Allah says, and most of the people, وَلَوْ حَرَصْتَ Even if you eagerly desire, they are not بِمُؤْمِنِينَ at all believers. Meaning they're not going to believe no matter how حَرِيص you become. حَرَصْتَ, this is from حِرْص. And حِرْص is to be very, very eager about something. The Prophet ﷺ really wanted people to believe. So he is consoled over here that no matter how badly you want them to believe, there are still very few people who will actually believe. Majority of the people will not believe. And this is a fact. وَمَا تَسْأَلُهُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ And you do not ask of them for it any payment. The Prophet ﷺ never said that, you know what, you pay me this, you pay me that, because I'm giving a message to you. No. So, in other words, why do they find it so difficult to believe? Are you asking them for a favor in return? No. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ This is not except a message to the worlds. This Qur'an is a dhikr for all people. Because it tells them about what is necessary for them, what is beneficial for them, so that they can do it. And it warns them against what is harmful so that they can leave it. It's a message for all people. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ And the Prophet ﷺ's responsibility was to convey that message. But still, the people of Mecca especially, they were far from believing. Allah says, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ And how many a sign within the heavens and the earth, يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا which they pass over. يَمُرُّونَ عَلَيْهَا مَرَّ يَمُرُّ is to pass. They pass by so many signs every day, every night. They witness the signs in the sky. They witness the signs in the earth around them. Yet وَهُمْ عَنْهَا مُعْرِضُونَ But they turn away from them. They don't take a lesson. The thing is that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam is not just a story. Okay, it is actually an ayah. It is a miracle. It is an evidence. It is an evidence of the truthfulness of the Quran. And it has so many lessons, direct and indirect, especially for the people of Mecca. Because look at how the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam mistreated him. And the people of Mecca, who were also relatives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were also mistreating him. So there was a big lesson for them in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. So in this ayah, in these verses, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is being consoled that this is not the first time these people have rejected the truth. They reject clear signs that they witness, that they see. And these signs, these ayat could be shari'i, the revealed verses, and these signs could be ayat kauni, right? The signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows. But they don't believe. So it's not your fault. وَمَا يُؤْمِنُ أَكْثَرُهُمْ بِاللَّهِ إِلَّا وَهُمْ مُشْرِكُونَ And most of them believe not in Allah except while they associate others with Him. This is so sad. First of all, we see that many people actually do not believe. And even if they do, Shaitan does not leave them alone. They believe in a God, a supreme being, but then they also associate partners with Him. And if they don't associate partners with Him, meaning they only worship Allah, like Muslims do, then they will do minor shirk. If not major shirk, they will do minor shirk, right? And minor shirk is to show off, right? To show off, to do things to impress people, to seek the acknowledgement and the praise of people. So tawheed, actual pure tawheed is found in very few people. Tawheed in love, tawheed in fear, loving only Allah, fearing only Allah, tawakkul on Allah. This is found in very few people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks as a warning, Afa aminu, do they then feel secure? أَن تَأْتِيَهُمْ غَاشِيَةٌ مِّنْ عَذَابِ اللَّهِ That there will not come to them an overwhelming punishment of Allah? Ghashiyah is something that completely covers. A punishment that will overcome and cover them completely so they will not be able to escape. أَوْ تَأْتِيَهُمُ السَّاعَةِ Or that the hour should come to them suddenly? بَغْتَةً By surprise? Unexpectedly? وَهُمْ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ While they don't even perceive? Meaning, they didn't even realize the time of its arrival. So, people who believe in Allah and yet associate partners with Him. Whether it is that they worship someone else along with Allah, or that they show off to others, their goal is not to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure exclusively. Do they feel secure? And this is something that we really need to worry about. Because you see, sometimes we are doing something good. Like for example, we're reciting Quran, but our intention is to impress people. That, you know, I really want my mom to see how I'm actually reciting Quran, right? Or the fact that, you know, I recite pretty good, right? I want them to be impressed. And at that time, we need to think that, would Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala approve of this riya of mine? How can I feel secure? What if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punishes me in this moment? Allahu Akbar. This is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lam wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lam. That, O Allah, I seek your protection from associating with you while I know, and I seek your forgiveness for having associated with you and I did not even know. You protect me from ever doing this and forgive me if I have ever done this. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, tell them that this is my way, meaning the way that leads to Allah. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. I call people to Allah. How do I call people to Allah? عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ. With insight, meaning with yaqeen, yaqeen and knowledge that is free of any doubt. You see, basira is clear proof that is visible in itself, and it also gives vision. When it's visible, you cannot miss it. It's obvious. It gives vision, meaning it enables you to see what is right, what is wrong, what is truth, what is falsehood. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he called people to Allah, he invited them with evidence. Okay, he didn't say just follow me blindly. No, he presented evidence. He presented knowledge. He was himself. And he convinced, Ana, I, وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, and also whoever follows me. And this means that anyone who does the job of the messengers, meaning they're calling people to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only, they should do so in the same manner. وَسُبْحَانَ, and I proclaim the glory of Allah. وَمَا أَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا. And we did not send before you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, any messengers, except that they were rijal, they were men. Plural of rajul, meaning they were not angels, they were humans. So why is it that people find it so strange to believe you? Nuhi ilayhim, we sent revelation to them. I mean, if you think about it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave preference to human beings above the angels, right? The angels were commanded to prostrate to Adam. The angels are commissioned to, you know, greet people in Jannah, to protect the people in the world. Why would an angel be sent to people as a prophet, right? When human beings have been given preference over angels, why would an angel be made a guide for human beings? So all prophets were human. They were not angels. And remember that angels are made of light and human beings are made of clay. Allah sent human messengers, not messengers made from light. And remember that the status of a human messenger made from clay is better than that of the angels made from light. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. And these prophets, who were they? مِنْ أَهْلِ الْقُرَى. They were from the people of the towns. Al-Qura, plural of قَرْيَة, this is referring to like bigger cities. The prophets were not from small villages, because when the prophets were from bigger cities, then the message would spread far and wide. And this is why we see that Yusuf alayhi salam was also brought from Palestine into Egypt. أَفَلَمْ يَسِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Then have these people not traveled in the earth? فَيَنْظُرُوا, so that they can see. كَيْفَ كَانَ عَقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. How was the consequence of the people before them? Have they not gone around the earth? And the people of Mecca would travel to, you know, Egypt and Syria and to Yemen and Syria. And on their way, they would see the ruins of the people of the past. So have you not seen that? كيف كان عاقبة الذين من قبلهم? What happened to the people who rejected their prophets? They were destroyed. وَلَدَارُ الْآخِرَةِ خَيْرٍ And surely the home of the hereafter is best. For who? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا It is only for the people who fear Allah. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Will you not understand? حَتَّى إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ They continued, meaning the prophets of Allah. You see, in the previous ayah, we see how the prophets, they conveyed the message to their people. Their people did not believe. And what happened? Eventually, those who rejected the prophets, opposed the prophets, they were destroyed. And you can see their ruins today. And the final outcome was in the favor of the prophets of Allah, not their deniers. But, you know, when we think about the story of Nuh alayhi salam, you can talk about the story of Nuh alayhi salam in less than a minute, right? But it's actually a story of over 950 years. When we talk about the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we just studied his story in like 3 weeks, right? 4 weeks. That's it. But it was a story that it was a story of his life that took over 40 years, perhaps way more than that. Allahu A'lam. So when we think about different, you know, prophets of the past, we just think, okay, this happened, that happened, this happened. But you know what? They actually experienced a lot of hardship. And that hardship was such that Allah says, Hatta إِذَا اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ The prophets, they continued to preach. And they were patient until اسْتَيْأَسَ الرُّسُلُ Until the messengers despaired. اسْتَيْأَسَ, we have done this word earlier. Yani they gave up hope. Of who? Of their people. Not of Allah. Never. The prophets never despaired of Allah's help. This is when the prophets despaired of their people. Meaning, it came to a point where the prophets thought that nobody would believe. They almost gave up on their people. They didn't expect anyone to believe. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ قَدْ كُذِبُوا وَظَنُّوا and they. And this is referring to the people, the nations to whom the prophets were sent. ظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ And ظَنَّ أَنَّ is to believe. The people started to believe that قَدْ كُذِبُوا that they had been lied to. They had been lied to by who? By their prophets. What was the lie that these people are saying? This man is saying, I'm a prophet of Allah. Well, I know he's not a prophet of Allah because if he was a prophet of Allah, Allah would have certainly helped him. And Allah has not helped him yet. It's been so long, so he's a liar. You see what happened? The ordeal became so long that A, the messengers gave up on their people, and B, the people also began to believe that the messengers were liars. And just at that time, جَاءَهُمْ نَصْرُنَا Our help came to the messengers. فَنُجِّيَ مَنْ نَشَاءَ And then whomever we wanted was saved. He was rescued. وَلَا يُرَدُّ بَأْسُنَا عَنِ الْقَوْمِ الْمُجْرِمِينَ And the criminal people, our punishment is not averted from them. Meaning at the end, it is the criminals who are punished. So what do we see over here? That the prophets never despaired from their Lord's help. They despaired of people, but this shows us that relief certainly comes no matter how long the ordeal is. If the prophets suffered for so long, Nuh alayhi salam for 950 years, he exerted to convey the message to his people, then why is it that we expect instant relief? You see that? When we're going through a problem, we expect instant relief. That, you know what, I got sick yesterday, I should be perfectly fine today. Right? I went to the doctor today, I got my medication, I started taking it, I should feel better already. Right? Any kind of difficulty that we're going through, we want immediate relief. We say, you know what, I made dua today, I want my problem to disappear already. But this is not how this world operates. If the prophets had to endure trials for so long, then what about us? There is a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And that system is that in order to get something, you have to go through hardship, right? So why is it that help does not come immediately? Why is it that we don't get relief immediately? Think about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If Mecca was conquered on the first day and there was bloodshed, Muslims were allowed to fight, would that allow Umar radiallahu anhu to believe? Would that enable Hamza radiallahu anhu to believe? Khalid ibn Walid, Abu Sufyan to embrace Islam? Would that bring the Ansar in the picture? Who would be the Ansar if the Prophet ﷺ did not have to migrate to Medina? If Yusuf ﷺ was taken out of the well immediately and brought home, would that bring him to Egypt? Would that give him the opportunity to learn from Aziz? Would that allow him to see the elite of Egypt and also the oppressed, the bottom and the top of the society? Would that allow him to win the trust of the king and get the position that he did? Would that allow him to save the hundreds of lives that he did? And would that allow him to be at good terms with his brothers eventually? Our problem is that we become hasty and we only see what is before us and we want instant relief. We want immediate results, but that is not how this world works. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a bigger plan, which includes you and so many other people around you. Sometimes we only think about ourselves and we forget about the people that are around us. You know, think about it. When you're driving, there are times when you are in a rush, so you want every traffic light to be green, right? And then there are other times when you are, you know, for example, trying to play a CD or something, or you know, listen to a lecture or adjust some setting in the car, and you're waiting for a red light. Especially if you have children in the car, you're waiting for a red light. If you're trying to eat at the same time, you're waiting for a red light. So you want the light to be red and somebody else wants the light to be green, right? It's two different needs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb of not just you, but of everybody. Our problem is we become hasty. And our problem is that when the ordeal becomes too long, then we start to give up. So what's the lesson in this? The lesson is do not despair of relief from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you see the prophets, what happened with them? The people began to think that their prophets were liars. So even if people think that you are a lost cause, even if people think that there's no hope for you, even if people think that, you know what, now you're 35, you're never going to find a spouse, you're never going to be able to marry. Or if people think that, you know what, you now have this particular disease, now you should be preparing for your death, right? Even if people have given up on you, you do not give up on Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرًا. Certainly there is in their stories a lesson. In whose stories? In the stories of the prophets and the messengers and how they were with their people. There is a lesson, an ibra. And remember that an ibra, this is from the word ubur. Ubur is to cross over from one side to the other. Like for example, you cross over from one side of the valley to the other. So this is when you go from ignorance to knowledge, right? So there is a lesson in these stories. You didn't know, now you know, which means that now your understanding should be better and it should reflect in your actions. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصِهِمْ عِبْرًا. But this is a lesson for who? لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, for the people of intellect, for the people who use understanding. This Qur'an, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. It is not a speech that is fabricated. This is not an invention. This is a revelation from Allah. And this Qur'an, what is it? Allah says, وَلَكِنْ, but it is. The five qualities of the Qur'an are mentioned over here. First of all, مَا كَانَ حَدِيثًا يُفْتَرَى. It is not something fabricated. Secondly, it is tasdiq. It is a confirmation of the truth, of what الَّذِي بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ, of that which was before it. Meaning the Quran confirms the previous scriptures, and especially the story of Yusuf alayhi salam. Thirdly, وَتَفْصِيلَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. It is a detailed explanation for everything. Meaning everything that people are in need of, the Quran explains that. And if you compare it to the previous scriptures, you see that in the Torah, for example, the focus is all on the laws. In the Zabur, there is hymns and praises. In the Injil, the focus is on the akhlaq. And the Quran has detailed explanation of all that people need, because people need laws, so the Quran contains it. People need to know lessons from history, so there's mention of the people of the past. There is guidance, there is good manners, there are, you know, worldly sciences and those related to the hereafter. You need, there's so much that the Quran has. It is tafsil. And then fourthly, the Quran is wahuda, and a guidance, wa rahmatan, and a mercy. Fifth, it's a mercy. It's a guidance. It's not just information. But the Quran gives religious guidance in every aspect of your life. Even when it comes to your personal matters, the things that you feel in your heart, the Quran will guide you regarding that. It is a mercy. In the beginning, the Quran is guidance. You open it up in order to learn. And then as you read it, as you reflect on it, the Quran becomes a mercy for you. It becomes a source of healing for you. It becomes a source of hope for you. So it's a mercy then. It made you better. It helped you. And those who believe in it, and those who change their actions according to the Quran, then this will be a source of rahmah for them. And the biggest rahmah, jannah, wa rahmah. But this is for who? لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ, for those who believe. So it is only the believers who benefit from the Quran. Ibn Ata' said that no mahzoon, sad person, listens to Surah Yusuf except that he will be comforted by it. Meaning this story will be a source of mercy for him. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the story, our reflection on the story, a source of mercy for us also. We see in this beautiful story, because in the last ayah Allah says there's an ibrah. So I'm just going to take a couple more minutes, hopefully inshallah just two or three, to go over some very important lessons that we can extract from this surah. You see in this surah, in the story, we see the best side of people and also their worst. Right? We see how human beings can be so patient, like the patience of Yaqub and Yusuf. We see how human beings can be so greedy, like the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. How the lust of some people can really make them do terrible things, like the wife of Aziz. We see the insight of the king, right? How he recognized the value of Yusuf alayhi salam and the Aziz before that. And we see the ignorance of some other people, the travelers who just picked him up and sold him as a slave. We see the justice of Yusuf alayhi salam, his forbearance, his calmness, right? And in contrast, the hastiness of his brothers. So we need to see, who are we? What role are we playing? What is it that we are doing in our lives and in the lives of other people? In this story, we see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes things to change from trial, from one trial to another trial, and from one trial to a blessing, from humiliation to honor, from imprisonment to power, from division to unity, from sadness to joy, from denial to confession, from hardship to ease. And we see that Yusuf alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, they didn't just survive the trials in their lives with sabr. No, with sabr they also had taqwa. And because of that, they got so much more. They became muhsineen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not waste the reward of those who do ihsan. We see in the story about how we cannot always protect the people that we love. It is truly Allah who protects. So give yourself and your loved ones in the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see how in the story there are people who will hate you because of the good that you have, not the bad. They will be jealous of you and they will hate you because of the good that you have. So you don't have to believe their words and make them hate yourself. Their hate is their problem. It is not yours. Their rejection of you, their mistreatment of you, is their problem. It is not yours to take. We also see in the story how this life is, you know, it's not everything. One day you are so important, and another day, you are nothing. Yusuf alayhi salam was so precious to his father, but on another day, he was being sold as a slave. So it happens in this life that your qualities and strengths may not be appreciated by everybody, but that doesn't define you. We also see in the story how real qualities are actually shown in tests, meaning the true faces of people are revealed in hardship. And this is why hardship is important. And this is why it's so important that we reflect on ourselves in difficulty. We see that in the story that our Lord is always accessible. There are times when you cannot reach out to your loved ones or the people that you trust, the people you think you need. They're far from you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there. You may be in a situation where nobody around you understands you or has sympathy for you, but your Lord does. So Yaqub alayhi salam said, "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah." We also see how even strong men can cry. Yaqub alayhi salam was a prophet of Allah. He was a strong man, but he cried so much that he became blind. It's okay to cry. And we also see how truly good people do not seek revenge. Yusuf alayhi salam was thrown in the well, sold into slavery, thrown in the prison, forgotten over there. He suffered so much because of his brothers, and he ended all of those years of injustice with لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. And finally, it's very important that we trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan. And this is the essence of servitude. This is this is part of Tawheed, our belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's oneness, His perfection. Yusuf alayhi salam had a dream, and it took so long for that dream to be fulfilled. And the same way, it's possible that we are praying for something, we are hoping for something today, but we don't get it tomorrow. We get it years and years later. When you ask Allah, and when you put yourself in, when you surrender your affairs to Allah, then trust His plans. And remember that good days are coming. So have faith, have hope, and surrender your affairs to Allah, and believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-latif, He is kind, He is al-alim, He knows what's going on, and He is al-hakim, His decisions are wise, and they're perfect, and there is a set time for everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to surrender to His decrees. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be patient with His decisions, and to be pleased with His decrees. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our trials easy for us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to extract benefit from the Qur'an, so that the Qur'an becomes a huda, a guidance, and a mercy for all of us. Jazakumullahu khayran kathira. Inshallah, we'll conclude over here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Inshallah, I'll see you tomorrow as we begin our journey through Qur'an from Juz 1. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.